Dining with Jesus. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories, Dining with Jesus. I'm sure that Jesus ate meals with his disciples. And they were together, sitting around, chatting, and dining. Now, we know that Jesus really didn't have to eat. We know that Swami Rama, telling the stories of his masters, his teachers, and he would tell how his teacher would be with the students in the cave up on the side of the mountains there in India, and that they would study together and work together. And the master was a skinny little guy, but very healthy. And he didn't have any clothes on, especially, but he was just a skinny little guy, and you'd think he'd be cold, and you'd think he'd be bothered because he didn't have any flesh. Just enough flesh to cover his body. Well, when he would sit down with his students, he would socialize with them, and he would eat a grain of rice. Sometimes it would be the grain of rice that he took at breakfast. And he'd chew on that grain of rice all day long. That grain of rice would be his sustenance, his way of sharing with his students. Now, why did he sit and share with his students? Why did he take even the grain of rice, which he surely didn't need? Why did he do that? Well, he did that to be sociable. He did that to sort of slow down the busy pace that was going on in his cave. And why did Jesus sit and eat with his disciples? For surely he had many more things to do and many more interesting things to do than to sit and eat, which was not of interest to him. But he ate with them. And he ate with them because he taught them to sit down and know that this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. It's healthy for my body and filled with love. And it's not so much a matter of the food, but it's a matter of not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth, he told his disciples. It's not so much what goes into the mouth, but what comes out. So, mealtime, a time of sharing, was a time of sharing. And he would sit with the disciples, and they would talk about the things that were of concern to them. And he would talk about nature, and he would talk about how life goes on. He would talk about how thoughts are things. He would talk about how living in a world of absolute love, unconditional love, was the greatest, most glorious kind of world anyone could ever live in. Now, he had to have time to stop doing other things and sit and talk with his disciples. He didn't sit in a classroom situation with them all the time. He didn't sit and discussing this with them up on the hillsides and what have you. For at times like that, when he was on the hillside with them, or when he was with them at another time than meals, he would be teaching them and lecturing with them about things that were important for them to understand about life. But when they ate together, when they broke bread together, when they shared the fish, when they shared whatever they had together, it was a matter of sharing. And the first thing that any of the disciples did was to make sure that the master had a proper place. They made sure that his plate was clean and set before him. They made sure that all of the food that was to be eaten at that meal stood before Jesus first. And he took first. And probably he didn't take so much as they gave him first. But they prepared his plate for him out of love and kindness, probably a great deal more than he wanted. And they poured the glass of wine for him, They poured all of the foods for him, prepared all of the foods for him, and made everything perfect. And then after they had served their teacher, then they all sat down and took from the family plate and shared together themselves. And Jesus probably took a crumb of bread and moved it between his fingers and made it into a little patty of some sort and put it in his mouth and took the flavor to his tongue. And then after a bit, he would take a sip of wine. And during all of this, he would demonstrate to his disciples what an ideal being is all about. He would demonstrate to them that truly it is not what goes into the mouth that makes the difference. It is what comes out of the mouth. Do we say all is good and very good? Do we take every morsel of food that we eat and do we call it good? Do we call it glorious? Do we call it wonderful? Do we call it fabulous? This is what he taught them. When we take a drink of wine, do we slug it down and wash down our throat? Or do we sip it as though it were the most fragrant, most joyful drink that could ever be had? We take it as though it is the most beautiful experience. We want to make it last as long as possible. One breathing in the flavor of the wine, sipping in the juice itself, just a little by little, no rush. The disciples, of course, were not used to that. They come from their normal patterns of life with their normal families, and they were used to eating and rushing and getting out of the house and back out in the fields or out to fish or do whatever they were doing. It was not their custom to talk during meals. It was not their custom to stop and share and to be one with the other. It was their custom to eat and run. And it seems that custom has reborn itself in our present day. But we can take a lesson from the teachings of the Master, and we can realize that it is not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out. So when we allow ourselves to eat together, share together, we do so in a peaceful, gentle, calm manner. We do so in a loving, sensitive, caring manner. Each one of us want to contribute to the conversation of the meal. Each one of us want to have what comes out of our mouth be the most glorious, uplifting, revealing idea that could ever be known. We want to share something. Each one of us have something beautiful we want to share, which makes our sharing all the more glorious in itself. We want to let come out of our mouth that which is good and beautiful, pure and wonderful. And the only way we can do that is when the thoughts that we entertain in our mind, in our brain, in our living, the thoughts that we entertain are uplifting thoughts. Beautiful, wise, gentle thoughts. Loving thoughts that always sort of speak of the divine within us revealing itself. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How often we do not think that. But how often we think, oh, just whatever, the top of my head, whatever comes off, I'm just going to spout it out. Well, now, if we are practiced and trained in having come off of the top of our head the beautiful and the good, that's wonderful. But if we are accustomed to being thoughtless and crass, then it's time that we begin to retrain ourselves. We train ourselves to think before we act. And truly, we always do think before we act. But we have sometimes allowed ourselves to act in ways that show that we haven't really thought. Act in ways that we demonstrate a lack of unconditional love, a lack of peace, a lack of caring. In all things, and this is what the Master taught, in all things, be consistent. Jesus was a teacher of love, unconditional love. At no time could the Master ever say anything contrary to unconditional love. If he is quoted as saying anything contrary of unconditional love, then somewhere there's a misquote. Somewhere someone has taken the wrong information and put it into his lips. When we listen to ourselves before we speak, when we listen to ourselves with loving and caring consciousness, we will always speak that which is good and beautiful and pure and wonderful. We will always be the master of ourselves. For surely you cannot think that a master teacher who is in no rush, who is in no hurry to accomplish anything, but just goes through life in a beautiful, well-paced way, that such a person would ever do something contrary to what his nature is. And if his nature is love, he could not express a lack of love. If his nature is peace, he could not express a lack of peace. If his nature is sharing and goodness, kindness, respect for all, he could not ever express anything contrary to that nature. And this is what he would have us do. Always be consistent. Express everything in harmony with the nature of who we are. Have you thought about what happens to you at mealtime? Have you thought about what happens to you when you sit down to eat with yourself? With yourself or your family or anyone else? When you think about what you do when you sit down to a meal, and you think that that meal should be a time of letting come out the pure, the good, the beautiful, the wonderful, then indeed you have made that meal into a blessed sacrament. You have made that meal into something that the Master would have taught. For we can do that every moment of our life. We can live the Bible stories every moment of our life. But rather than living the Bible stories, live as a reflection of the Master in itself. For that is all that matters. Be true to yourself, and you can be false to no man. Be yourself at all times, and have fun being who you are. For you can be sure that God is this way. You can be sure that the great teachers of the wisdom of God is this way. And you can be sure this is your nature as it is my nature. Have a lovely day. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.